Welcome to the Stain Gang Podcast as we talk about Midwestern State Soccer. What an up and down week it was for the Midwestern State Mustangs. And another big week coming up as they go on the road to take on UT Tyler before hosting Oklahoma Christian. And they will be back at Stang Park Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. We'll talk about both of those games, but I do kind of want to relive this past week. And let's go back to the Hilltop in Austin and talk about what happened at St. Ed's. It's not often we see Midwestern State take a 5-0 loss. Let me just ask you this. Was there any silver lining that you were able to take out of that match?
It was over.
It was over.
Yeah, that's about as silver as it got. We made it back safe. There was nothing.
Well, the reason I kind of asked the question that way is because of the way you rebounded on Saturday night against Texas A&M International. It seemed like maybe you were able to extract some positives out of it, or at least get things turned around to an extent. Or am I overreading things?
I think it's just them taking responsibility. They didn't take responsibility on Wednesday. We didn't take it as a program and as a team, and they had a different mindset and a different attitude on Saturday, and that's what you get from a team like ours if they take responsibility and they're being accountable for their actions and they're doing everything that they're supposed to be doing. You can expect results like we got Saturday. And if you don't, the game is the game. And if you shy away from responsibility and you don't take care of what you need to take care of individually and collectively, you're going to get what you got on Wednesday.
So was Wednesday just a bad 63-second span, or did you think it was a bad 90 minutes?
No, I mean, it was just bad. I mean, no, the 63 seconds was...
Have you experienced anything like... I mean, I know it happens in soccer sometimes,
no,
but...
Never on that end of it. I mean, I know that we've scored quickly on teams before, and that's what I told the boys. Like, if you're going to show up and be willing to put that many on somebody, you've got to do everything in your power to not let it happen to you. And we didn't do that on Wednesday.
Were those mental breakdowns, physical breakdowns, a combination of both?
All of the above. There's no hiding it. There's no silver lining. There's no shying away from it. You just take responsibility for it, and you got your ass kicked, and you have to take it.
I mean, all of your goals are still in front of you. That one loss doesn't have to define this team.
It's not the loss. It's not the loss. It's the way you lost. It's how you lost. It's what you did during the loss, what you did before the loss. That's why it was so bad. Score line's a score line. If you lose 1-0, you lose 5-3, you lose 5-0.
You don't see a difference, really.
Like, it's just a loss. Like, it shows up one. You don't get five losses because you gave up five goals. Like, it's just one loss, you know? We take it as one loss, but it's the way you lost. It's how you lost, like I said. That's what's unacceptable.
And what was your view of the way you lost?
Like I said, we didn't take accountability. We shied away from responsibility. We were arrogant. We weren't humble. I mean, it was all of the above. We were making excuses before we even got there. It was wrong.
You had a quick turnaround. You only had a couple of days in between matches. How do you get that mindset changed in such a quick time? Because it was
just bring it back up to them of like what we've been doing, who we are, what we are. You know, you need to be humble. You need to be grateful. You need to take responsibility. You know, you don't take things for granted. And we took everything for granted, and now we shouldn't.
So
we know the worst thing that can happen. The worst thing that can happen is you lose 5-0. You know what I'm saying? So right. we understand now the worst. Like we've never seen the worst. Like, I've been here for a really long time. Like, we've never seen the worst. We've seen big losses. Like I told the boys, it's like, I've lost bigger games than that. Like that, I'm not shying away from that. I mean, we've lost much, much bigger games than that as a program, as individuals, as a collective group. Like, we've lost bigger games than what we just did.
You're
we
saying
just,
games just, that had more importance?
Yeah, more, well, I yeah. mean, just bigger games in general. Like, that happened to be eighth game of a season, ninth game of a season, whatever it was. Like, there's...
That one could get lost in the shuffle. Correct. One at the end of the year doesn't necessarily get lost in the shuffle. Like,
that's my biggest... And I might go on a rant a little bit. So you can
no, that's okay. That's what the podcast is for.
The issue is like, you get everybody, they'll always... Like, at the very end, November, December, season's over, everybody cries. That's what it is. You all cry. We're crying because you knew that you left something on the table. You knew that you didn't do everything you could do. You didn't take care of everything throughout the heat season. Maybe not just that one game, but you have regrets. That's why everybody's disappointed and everybody's crying. Well, you're numb if you've given everything you've got. Like you've given it all, so you're just kind of numb. You have that feeling, and everybody's had that feeling as a competitor. Like it's over, but you've given it all, so you're just numb, right? You're disappointed,
right.
You're upset, but you're numb. You don't have any other feeling. You don't have any other reaction. You don't have anything else. When you have that emotional reaction like that, it's because you left something out there. That's just my belief. That's my opinion. People can agree or disagree.
No, I think
that's what it is.
I think it's something to really think about. I think that's a fascinating view of it.
I've been there before. We've been here for too long. Like the program's been here for too long. Like there's too many people that are on the other side of this listening to it that are like, yeah, I mean, I felt numb before, or at the end of some season, maybe my freshman or my senior year, whatever. Yeah, I got emotional. Well, you got emotional because it's over and you can't do anything about it. When you're numb, you know that you've done everything, and you don't know how to accept it. But you know you've done everything you can. So that's why you have that numb feeling.
Well, another reason. I mean, I'm not arguing with you. I think what you're saying is fascinating. But another reason you cry at the end is because you're never going to play together again. It's over.
Yeah, but that's a different emotion. That's a different feeling. You know, you all of a sudden you're kind of looking at your brothers that you've had for so long and teams that you've been a part of for so long, and that's the emotion because you know it's over for them. But you still feel numb.
If, right.
You know, individually, and even there's teams even collectively that just feel that are on both sides of it. So you have two. You can have more than just the one emotion. But a guy or a girl or a team or whatever knows that, like, if you have that numb feeling, you knew that what you've done is what you've done.
And you gave it everything you had.
You gave everything you got.
You came out here Saturday night at Stang Park taking on Texas A&M International. By the way, a moment of silence before the start of that game. Texas A&M International lost their president unexpectedly.
Yeah.
And that was a great gesture by Midwestern State to have that moment of silence.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think when you have someone like their president that's meant so much to the university and meant so much to the community of Laredo, that's the least we can do.
Is it tough to transition, though, from that moment of silence and that somber moment to end up playing with your hair on fire, which you guys did?
No, I don't believe so. I mean, obviously you're showing respect and you would want somebody to do that for you. So, you know, we were totally 100% okay with everything that did. I mean, it was our idea to do that, along with, you know, Coach Claudio and stuff like that. So we spoke about it and we were in 100% agreement that this is what should happen. So, no, I think you show your respect the best way you can. And that's the way we could do that.
No, it was a great gesture. But, and then, as I say, you came out in the first 15, 20 minutes. You guys, really, you had a fire lit under you. It was obvious.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what you're supposed to do. There's nothing. You're not supposed to not do that. You're not supposed to not have that reaction. But you're not.
I mean,
to not
I hear what you're
day.
Saying, but it doesn't always happen that way.
It doesn't always happen. However, when you have individuals and players and a program like ours, you don't have anything else other than that. That's the minimum.
But you also made some personnel changes and some tactical changes, and you were also dealing with a couple of players out, key players, Liam Pritchard, who's among the conference leaders in assists, mm-hmm. and Tristan Adams, who's been terrific in the back for you, particularly in the air. Great. So you had to overcome those obstacles.
Both really, really good players, both really good people that we have in there. And obviously, we've missed them, and hopefully we can get them back sooner rather than later, but they should both be able to come back before the season.
I was going to ask you, is that a possibility that they would come back sooner, or either one of them looking at missing the rest of the season?
No, I don't think anybody's missing the rest of the season, but it could be another week, it could be another 2 weeks, it could be whatever. I mean, it's just when their body is healed and ready to go.
And that kind of makes it tough on you, doesn't it? I mean, I realize that's part of the game, but...
Yeah, no, I mean, but just other opportunities for other individuals to kind of step up and show what they can do and their worth and the value, and then that just gives us more experience and more depth and everything. And obviously, you got those two guys that are going to be out for a handful of weeks, and they're not going to be able to come back and be super, super fit right away. So you're going to have to work those guys back in with fitness and time and kind of reps and those things. So it's always great to be able to have, you know, other people that can step up and do a job for you.
Which you kind of saw that Saturday night, right? You had some guys step up.
Yeah, we had some guys that have stepped up a lot, that have been maybe in and out of the lineup, maybe started some, not started, maybe hadn't started at all. That sort of stuff, and they really kind of came in and produced pretty well.
Anybody in particular come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think Johan played exceptionally well. I think Caesar came in and did a fantastic job. Jared came in and did a great job. And then you've kind of got your staple type guys that have done really well. I mean, Mede came in and does what he can do.
Just another multi-goal game for Mede Escobar, right?
You know, I mean,
that's 11 times in his career now he scored two or more goals, and it was, his third hat trick.
Yeah. I mean, he scored a hat trick as a freshman. So you know you kind of have something a little bit special when an 18-year-old is able to come into a conference game on the road and get a hat trick from the minute go. So,
and he was so close to a fourth goal, which you told me in the post game.
Yeah,
had that one gone in, would have been among the best in Midwestern State history.
One of the best ones I've been a part of. But we don't have to talk about it because it didn't go in. So just let him shoot for something else.
You've got couple of tests coming up this week. You got a UT Tyler team coming up on Wednesday. You have to play at their place.
Tough place to play.
And they seem like a tough team to kind of figure out right now.
I mean, they are kind of who they are, just like, I mean, most all of us are at this point in time. But it's just like we said, kind of maybe after the match yesterday, it's a tough place to go because it's not too, too far, but it's not too, too close.
Right.
Obviously, you got to go through Dallas-Fort Worth to get there, so you never know what the traffic's going to be like there. You know, you never – and then once you get on the other side of Dallas, it's a straight shot, and you're like, oh, this could be easy, but if there's one wreck or one breakdown, then all of a sudden there's no turnoffs once you get on the other side.
Yeah, there's not really a back way in, is there?
So, like, you're kind of – you're subject to your surroundings at that point. So it's a tough place to play. The surface is great. Kenny does a great job with those guys. But, yeah, it'll be another big, big test for us.
And they're coming off a couple of draws in conference play. They played a 3-3 draw with Dallas Baptist, and then they're coming off a 1-1 draw with West Texas.
Correct, yeah, two good teams. I mean, obviously DBU made the conference final and the semifinal the year before that. And, you know, you've got West Texas that's always right up there at the top of the conference. So, yeah, I mean, they're able to get points home and away, so we've got to be prepared and ready to go.
And then we got another great doubleheader coming up for you at Stang Park on Saturday, like we had last week. It'll be earlier this week. It'll start at 11 with the women's game, and then the men will play at 2. And the men have Oklahoma Christian coming in, and this is an Oklahoma Christian team that has two of the top five players among the leading point getters so far in the Lone Star Conference. And this is an Oklahoma Christian team. It seems like when they come here, or when you go there for that matter, and I know we say this about everybody, but I think with Oklahoma Christian, it's even more so that they kind of got they definitely want to beat Midwestern State. It's written all over them.
A little bit of our version of a Red River rivalry.
Right,
It's good to have that, and it's always good to play really good teams, and I think our conference is littered with them, so it'll be another big opponent, and I think it's our last Saturday game, so it's going to be senior day for them, so a little bit of emotion, or senior day for us, so a little bit of emotions for all of our
We're
guys.
Already at senior day?
Well, it's just our last Saturday that we're
so
able to
So you want to do it on a
so,
Saturday.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's just so hard for families to come from all over and get everybody back for it. So
I mean, still, last Saturday home game, it means the end of the season is going to be here before you know it. I mean, the season goes fast, doesn't it?
We're already in October. We're already in October, so yeah, I think this thing flies by.
And the intensity's picking up, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's conference time. I mean, now you can play for trophies and stuff like that. So obviously, the attention to detail and the intensity and kind of the edge everybody should have is ramped up a little bit more.
So help me out, Senior Day Saturday. Who's going to be recognized on Saturday?
Oh gosh, we got a. We got a handful of them. We've obviously got, we've got Mede, we've got Max, we've got Samu.
By the way, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'd be remiss if we didn't point out that Max Gonzalez got two goals in that game the other night as well.
Showed up really, really big and that sort of stuff for us. So, yeah, we talked to Max a lot, and he kind of shared some information with us, and we shared some information with him, and we were kind of bouncing ideas off of each other and kind of finding good partnerships and kind of good connections, and he was able to get it. And obviously, I think he could have. He was probably a little bit disappointed not having a little bit more.
He could have had a hat trick. Yeah, so in fact, they both could have had four goals. Yeah. The chances were there, which is what you're looking for, right? Create those chances.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah.
So, Mede, Max, I'm sorry I cut you off, but when you mentioned Max, I'm like, I can't just run past that.
You've got Mede, you got Max, you got Caesar, you've got Josh, you've got Johan, Samu, like I said.
Who's another guy putting together a great season for you, by the way.
Yeah, you've got Tristan, you've got Juan. You've got Ant. I mean, you've got a lot of guys that with a lot of experience.
A lot of experience, a lot of history here, and have certainly made an impression on this program.
Yeah.
A lasting legacy, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've been here for a lot of good times, and obviously they were here for the Wednesday, the bad time, and they don't want that to. They don't want to feel that again. So, we've got a good group of seniors that are going to be recognized, and we're going to try to. Make sure they have a good feeling on Saturday.
We're definitely looking forward to that Saturday matchup. We got two good ones on Saturday because the women play St. Mary's at 11 and then the men play Oklahoma Christian. It'll be a great day to be out at Stang Park.
Absolutely.
And we're looking forward to it, but we want you to go out and beat UT Tyler before that.
One game at a time.
Yeah, that's Michael Meacham, the men's head soccer coach here at Midwestern State University. Thanks for listening to the Stang Gang podcast. Be sure to tell your friends about the podcast, and be sure to bring a couple of friends with you to Stang Park on Saturday at 2 o'clock when Midwestern State hosts Oklahoma Christian. I'm Pete Stein. So long.